I received an email this week from Carl Richards, who is himself a financial advisor, and he writes a blog called The Behavior Gap. And his email opened this way: "Are you scared? So am I." Fear, anxiety, stress, disappointment. We are all feeling these emotions. We have never been in quite this situation before as a community, or even really as a world, yet not in our collective memory anyway. It's not actually a new situation, but it is new to us. A bit like live streaming. That's new to us. It's not brand new technology, but it is new to us. It's not in my experience. And while we haven't faced this kind of circumstance before, the emotions that we feel related to this circumstance, related to the coronavirus, those emotions are not new. We have felt them before. In the face of the unknown, we feel anxiety. We feel anxious. But what does the scripture say? Proverbs 12, verse 25. "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad." Anxiety here in this verse is a good translation. The Hebrew word means having care, but it also carries overtones of fear. So it's having care or concern about something, but with a tinge of fear. The word is used in Ezekiel chapter 12 in regards to how the residents of Jerusalem will feel during the coming siege. The Bible says they'll eat and drink with quaking and with trembling, with anxiety and in dismay. I think we can relate a little bit to that. Some of us feel under siege. Some of us are not free to go out as we are used to and accustomed to do. And Jerusalem was going to be under siege from the Babylonians, and eventually would fall to the Babylonians. The King James here says heaviness in a heart weighs it down. The Septuagint has a fearful or terrible word troubles the heart. And again, we know what this feels like. We ourselves have been fearful and we have been troubled. You can think back in times before when you have felt these things. And it's commonly found in the Bible. In fact, Saul's father is anxious about some lost donkeys. And so he sends Saul out to look for the donkeys, Saul and his servant. And after a while, he is less concerned about the donkeys, and he's more anxious and concerned about the possibility that he's lost his son, Saul. But that's the word that's used around this. In an agrarian society, drought causes anxiety. Will it rain? When will it rain? If it doesn't rain soon, will we have enough to eat? Daniel feels anxious. He is distressed and alarmed as he ponders an unintelligible vision. He loses sleep. And again, that's one of the signs that we are feeling anxious. We don't sleep well. And in the New Testament, Jesus notes the tendency to be anxious about food and clothing and our living. That's Matthew chapter 6. And no doubt many small business owners and hourly employees are feeling just that fear and anxiety. How will they live? And These are the articles that are now showing up in the Wall Street Journal and on blog posts. What's happening to them? Will there be governmental help for them? Will there be community help for them? How will they pay their bills and so forth? This idea of anxiety comes up in 1 Corinthians 7 for those who are married. Because once you're married, you're a bit anxious or concerned about your spouse. How is he or she feeling? How is he or she coping? How can I make him or her happy? And Paul actually says, if you're not married, you are only concerned about the things of the Lord. But if you're married, you're concerned and anxious about the things of your household and your spouse. The word itself in English, anxiety, comes from the Latin meaning to choke or squeeze. Think about that for a moment. Have you felt squeezed? It's hard to breathe when we're overcome by feelings of uneasiness or nervousness, usually over impending or anticipated ill. That's how Merriam-Webster's dictionary puts it. Uneasiness or nervousness over impending or anticipated ill. So people are sensing, they're thinking, they're projecting into the future that something bad is happening or will happen. So here's this word that means uneasiness of mind respecting some uncertainty. And we don't have certainty. Not from our standpoint. We feel anxious when faced by the unknown or uncertain. And again, think back in your life. You have felt butterflies. It's a fairly minor thing. Perhaps you're going to have a solo. And you're not that great of a singer. Maybe you have to give a speech. And you're not used to being in front of people. And you feel anxious. Now raise the stakes a bit. Will you get that job for which you applied? Will you keep the job you have? How will I be received? Think about you who are married. When you met your future in-laws for the first time, what will they think about me? Will I be welcomed into the family? Or what will be the outcome of this medical test? You're uncertain, so you feel anxiety. And so the scripture says, anxiety in our hearts weighs us down, but a good word makes him glad. Good word makes us glad. And what is that good word? Fear not. That's the good word. Fear not. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. All authority. Fear not. Turn now to Psalm 37. We sang from it earlier, but I want you to see the very first few verses of the psalm. Psalm 37 is to the left in your Bible. And how does it open? Fret not. Now, this psalm is set in the context of enemies that are out to get the psalmist. We're not kind of faced with quite that circumstance, but what he says here still holds true. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell on the land and befriend faithfulness, or cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil, for the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. The Lord will not forsake his saints. That's the portion at the end of the psalm in verse 28. He will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. So when tempted to fret in the face of opposition, the psalmist says, trust in the Lord. Do good. Cultivate faithfulness. And these are the things we're to do now. In the midst of this anxiety we feel, we're to keep doing good. Keep trusting in the Lord. Keep cultivating faithfulness. We're to keep doing what we know we are to do, regardless of the circumstance, and then we trust God for the outcome. We can't really control the virus anyway. We really can't control the economy. So what do? Well, we walk by faith. We do the things that he's called us to do. We trust him then for the outcome. So what does that mean? Well, delight in him. Commit your way to him. Trust in him. Be still and wait for him. Refrain from anger and wrath. Those things aren't helpful. And though some of us are feeling a little claustrophobic and we are kind of hemmed in, we're not to give way to irritation and anger and wrath. In fact, we should have a bit of a longer perspective. If all you looked at in terms of the stock market over the last 4 weeks, if that's all your time frame is, you would have good reason to be afraid. You've perhaps lost one-third of your investment. But over a 10-year period, 10 years from now, hopefully we'll look back and say, that was a great buying opportunity. So everyone says, look at the stock market, consider the stock market over a 10-year period. Well, if that's true for the stock market, how much more for us? What happens when we set the current crisis in the context of millennia? The last such crisis that we faced was like 100 years ago. The Spanish flu. And there have been epidemics like this, plagues like this from time to time. You go back into the Middle Ages to the Black Death and so forth. But when you take those things and set them into the context of eternity, we can wait on the Lord. Time here is so short. We certainly can wait on the Lord. But the question for us is, do you believe that he is good? Do you really believe that he's good? Do you really believe he knows what he's doing? Because the antidote to anxiety is faith. Spurgeon on Psalm 37 says, faith cures fretting. So when given the opportunity to fret, given the opportunity to worry, given the opportunity and the temptation to give way to anxiety, faith is the antidote. And that's the whole point of Jesus' teaching in Matthew 6, which we also read a little earlier. Our Heavenly Father feeds the birds and clothes the flowers. How much more will he care for you and me? You are of much more value than those. Do you believe that? That's really the question. Because that's what faith calls us to do, to believe the Word of God. So no matter what the present circumstance might be, and it will change, this is not the new normal. Things will return to some semblance of what we're used to. Might be 2 months, might be 6 months, but we're going back to more normal life. The question will be, as you are called now to seek first the kingdom, will you then also seek first the kingdom? When science has solved the virus, as it were, and we tend to look right now to science and the medical technology to solve this issue, once things kind of return to a more normal life, will we seek first the kingdom? So regardless of the circumstance, after 9/11, there was great interest in things of the Lord and in religion, and church attendance went up. And then it went back to more normal. People kind of got through the crisis and discovered, I don't think I need the Lord anymore. So no matter what the circumstance is, Jesus tells us, seek first the kingdom of God, and then he'll give you the desires of your heart. But we are called by faith to seek first the kingdom. The Lord of glory has entered into our experience. He came to bear the consequences of the fall. He came to redeem us from the estate of sin and misery. He came to heal. And Matthew, in Matthew chapter 8, observes this. That evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. He's come into the world to heal, to restore, and to save. Jesus has died, been buried, been raised for our redemption. He's ascended and been seated at the right hand of the Father, who put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. Did you hear that? He put all things under his feet. That includes a virus. And since he put all things under his feet, all things then do work together for our good. That's the end of Romans chapter 8. And nothing here on earth or in heaven can change that. Paul says, I have become convinced that neither life nor death, nor height nor depth, nor anything can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Why? Because all things have been put under Christ. He has authority over all things. The Lord reigns. That is the good word that makes us glad. So when anxiety in your heart weighs you down, remember the good word that the Lord reigns. And he will do whatsoever he pleases in heaven and on earth. And that makes us glad. So then we're enabled to do as Peter encourages us. Cast your anxieties upon the Lord, for he cares for you. And Peter's quoting Psalm 55, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Well, how do you do that? Well, by prayer. If you don't know Philippians 4, 6 and 7, you can turn there. You might actually, at some point, commit this to memory. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's how we cast our anxieties on the Lord. By supplication. It says, by supplication, let your requests be made known. If you're in trouble, Tell him. Tell him. Take that anxiety, that heaviness that is weighing you down, and give it to Jesus. Rest in His good word. That good word includes the peace of God, which passes all understanding. It'll keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So pray. That's one way we do this. We cast our anxieties by prayer. We also cast our anxieties by singing. So sing. You might think, well, I'm not much of a singer. Sing anyway. So the Psalms are for singing. But singing generally, I think, lifts our hearts. Even laments can lift our hearts. Because it reminds us we're not alone in this. Others have been here, and they have written their experience. That's what David has done. And we share in his experiences. He shares in ours. And as we together there and share in Christ's, as He shares in ours. The beauty of the Psalms. Commit helpful verses to memory. You might learn. Proverbs 12, verse 25. To remember that good word. You might memorize Philippians 4, 6, and 7. You might memorize Isaiah 33, 5, and 6. Meditate on the Lord's promises. Read the Word. If you can't enjoy face-to-face fellowship, call somebody. Make it a Zoom call, then you can see their face. Use Skype, use FaceTime, but contact somebody. Technology can bring us together. In the past, you go to restaurants and you notice that technology pushes people apart. I've seen four people at a dining room table and all four are on the phone, not talking to one another. My hope is in the future, that won't happen again. Because technology will realize, wow, I'm here face to face with my friends around a table, out eating. I don't need my phone. Because I'm going to enjoy one another's company. Speak a good word to one another. That's why you call somebody. Maybe they need to hear this good word. Maybe anxiety is actually weighing them down and they need to hear a good word from you. So stir each other up by remembrance. Remind people that the Lord is good. Remember that Jesus is our bread of life. He is our living water. He is the stability of our times. He's the abundance of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. He is our true treasure. And all of that is true in the face of an abrupt end of the school year. And there are many seniors who are disappointed. This is not how they thought it would end. Their athletic career was cut short. Their theatrical career was cut short. Their performance career was cut short. There are those who are getting sick. There are those who are looking at possible job loss. There are people looking at the destruction of their retirement accounts. There are people who are suffering from isolation. These things don't get the last word. They feel overwhelming now in the moment. But Jesus gets the last word. His resurrection life guarantees our own. His power and His promises, they get the last word. So in uncertain times such as these, come to Jesus. Hear His good word. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So come to Him. Give Him your burdens. Give him your fears. Lay on him your anxious thoughts and find rest and peace for your souls. Lord, we thank you for this good word. We are feeling anxiety, but it fades away in the light of this good word that makes us glad. You reign. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In the face of disappointment that we're feeling now and the fear that we feel now, we remember that that's not the last word. You are coming again. And you are bringing with you a new heavens and a new earth where there is righteousness, where this whole old order of things passes away, where there will no longer be tears or regret or trouble or anxiety. And we long for that. Oh, we long for you, that you might bring that with you, that we might have complete peace. But you promise that even now, for us who come to you by faith, you will grant us peace. So Lord, if there's anyone here today that is not in relationship with you, who has not come to you by faith, or someone who's watching online or who will hear this later, who is troubled and anxious, Holy Spirit, bring them. Quicken them. Enable them to embrace Jesus freely offered in the gospel. Lord, we give to you our anxiety. That which has been weighing us down, that heavy burden, we give to you. And we now embrace that rest that is promised by you to us. And we receive it by faith. This is our commitment, made by faith in the power of the Spirit. For Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen.